it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. James Yablonsky was a quiet 13-year-old boy, very smart and observant to things around him. James also loved camping and fishing, and growing up in Wisconsin offered plenty of opportunities to do just that. Devil's Lake State Park wasn't far from where James was living in Reedsburg, Wisconsin, and there were plenty of lakes and trails all around that area of the state. In June of 2023, just after finishing up his 7th grade year in school, James would do something strange. He left his house around 1 o'clock in the morning, carrying a backpack and two duffel bags, and drove off in his father's minivan. Yes, James was just 13 and far too young to drive. The van would be found the next day, parked on the side of the road near Devil's Lake State Park. A campsite, a makeshift campsite, was also discovered off in the woods near where the van was found, but there was no sign of James. On the surface, it looked like James wanted to run away and live off-grid. He even read books about off-grid living, and he seemed to be a little infatuated with it. However, James's father insists he would not have done so alone. That behavior just did not make sense for James. Regardless, the terrain in the area of Devil's Lake is a dangerous terrain, and James has been missing now for almost 2 years. Where is James Yablonsky?
Son, I won't give up, ever.
You think he's still alive?
Yeah, 100%.
Why?
I just feel it in my heart.
Bill Yablonsky remembers the last day he saw his son, a slow Sunday, when the family was together watching a movie marathon at home.
I thought it was just a normal day.
The next day, James disappeared. Sauk County deputies found the family's van abandoned. Investigators tracked down campsites that could have been James's, but still, a year later, no sign of him, leaving his family at a loss.
Frustrated. Because I know somebody's got him somewhere, and I can't believe he hasn't been seen or any tips have come in or anything else.
What would you say to James now?
You've been very, well, very much missed throughout the whole family. And it's time to come home, and we want you home.
Hello, and welcome to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing person story. Thank you so much for being here and for listening to these stories, the stories of the missing. Our goal is to cover unsolved missing person cases that have had far too little media attention. Those stories that can possibly be solved by just that one tip or one person coming forward with information. Before jumping in, I want to give a huge welcome to Laura Lee, our newest Patreon member. Thank you so much for your support of our show. It does mean the world to us, and it helps us keep pressing on with these stories. If anyone is curious, our Patreon link is in the show notes, and we do hope you'll hop on over there and check us out after the show. I think James's story really resonated with me because even though he may have been smart enough to prepare himself to live off-grid, he was just 13 years old when he disappeared, still very much a child. The amount of time he has been missing is also leading everyone to fear the worst. However, there have been intense searches for the boy, all yielding no additional clues as to where James is or what could have happened to him. Could he be out in the wilderness and searchers just have not found him yet? Or could he have had help and be somewhere completely different by now? Maybe not even in the state of Wisconsin. James Yablonski was born on December 3rd, 2009, to parents Rebecca and Bill. Bill was a single father raising four children in 2023, including 13-year-old James. James had just finished up his seventh grade year that June. He was a smart kid, but he was a quiet kid. He loved the outdoors, mostly camping and fishing, and he had plenty of places to do just that growing up in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. James was also very interested in off-grid living, and he had recently acquired two books in the series entitled Living Off the Grid. The Disappearance. On the morning of June 12, 2023, Bill woke up for work as usual. He noticed that James wasn't in the home and he began to look around for him. When he looked outside in their driveway, he immediately felt a sense of panic set in. His minivan, usually parked in plain sight in the driveway, was not there. The van was missing. He ran to get his cell phone to call for help or to call authorities, and he quickly noticed his cell phone was also missing. Bill ended up getting a ride to the local police station, and it was there where he would file an official missing persons report. When Bill went back to his house to wait for authorities to come to him, he decided to review the security cameras in the home. And that's when he saw James. It was 1 o'clock a.m., and James was seen walking out of the home wearing a backpack and carrying two duffel bags. He walks over to the driveway and he gets in the minivan. A minute later, the van is seen backing out of the drive. Bill was now in full-blown panic mode. He just watched his 13-year-old son climb into his minivan and drive away at 1 o'clock in the morning. The next day, with still no sign of James or the minivan, Bill was extremely concerned. James Yablonski had disappeared. The search and investigation. Authorities converge at the Yablonski home, and soon a search for James and the missing minivan commences. A BOLO, a Be on the Lookout, is issued for both. James does not qualify for an Amber Alert, unfortunately. Law enforcement reviews the video of James leaving the home and believed that James was a runaway. They thought they were dealing with a runaway child, a runaway teenager. But James's father insists that James would not have done all of this on his own and that he must have had help or must have had someone guiding him. But the detectives found no clues that someone else had been there at the Yablonski home that night, or that James had even been talking to anybody else prior to leaving. Later that morning, authorities finally get a break. Bill's missing minivan was discovered on the side of Highway 12, abandoned. It had actually been found earlier in the morning. There was no sign of James. At the same time, detectives were working feverishly to ping Bill's cell phone, as it was believed that James had taken it with him. When they got a hit, they went off in search of it. Turns out, it wasn't far from where that minivan was found. Law enforcement traced the ping to a wooded area off of the highway. As they searched for the missing phone, they came upon another clue, a campsite. At the campsite, they found pillows and blankets, clothing, a phone charger, but not the phone, not yet anyhow, and they found some food wrappers. They also found a jug of water. The clothing and pillow were positively identified as belonging to James. The search for the missing cell phone took them across Highway 12, the opposite side that the van was found on. It was there they discovered Bill's discarded cell phone. Why was it on the opposite side of the road? No one is quite sure. The cell phone GPS was also used to see if the movements of the phone and likely James could be traced for that night. It showed that the phone had left the home when James was seen getting into the minivan. Data showed that it drove around for a while, visiting James's dad's business in the Wisconsin Dells area twice. No one has any idea why he was there. Nothing was ever determined to be disturbed or missing from the workplace, at least that we know of. The phone then ended up at the side of Highway 12, where it would later be found. Canine dogs were brought in, but they weren't able to trace a good scent for James anywhere. They used helicopters and drones and thermal imaging technology. That area is really dense, and the helicopters struggled to see, but the drones were helpful to get better views. Again, nothing and no one was detected. Hundreds of search and rescue volunteers traipsed through the area. Finally, law enforcement had to limit involvement due to the dangerous terrain. It was so dangerous where they were searching, in fact, that two officers taking part in the searches had to be taken to the hospital for injuries. The area is said to be quite dense with trees and foliage and also several rock ledges and cliff drop-offs. Police departments from all over Wisconsin sent officers to assist, while volunteers were encouraged to do other tasks, such as provide water and food, hang up flyers, and share the information regarding James's disappearance. As time went on, some friends of James came forward to confirm that James did occasionally talk about living out in the wilderness. Authorities also came upon a strange Snapchat message posted by James shortly before he vanished. In that video, James says, quote, "For everyone who cares about me, it is not their fault. It is my fault," end quote. That's all the video contains. The post ends there, and we can really only speculate about what that message meant. James's father, Bill, also discovered that one of his handguns was missing from the home, and now everyone was really confused and feared the worst. Did James maybe intend to harm himself? Had he simply taken the gun for protection in the woods? Or perhaps he didn't take the gun at all. While it is said that the gun was missing from the home, there really is no proof or evidence that it was James who took it, only speculation based on the circumstances. Trail cams were also put up around the campsite to see if James, or anyone else for that matter, would return to the site. They were afraid that maybe by stationing officers there to watch out for someone returning, that it might scare someone off. However, no one returned to the campsite. All of the electronics that James had access to, both in school and at home, were also confiscated and searched forensically for any clues. While they found many searches about living different places across the country, they couldn't identify any specific clues that would help them find James. By June 16th, the majority of the searches were called off. The weather had become rainy and conditions were extremely poor. Authorities announced that while they believed James ran away, they did not think he was still in those woods, or they believed that they would have found him. So if he's not in the woods, where is he? Where did he go? How did he get there? James's family, including Father Bill, continued the search on their own. Bill began working the media a little bit, but many locals questioned his behavior. So Bill pulled back from doing media. which caused even more questions to be asked. Families are often judged the hardest in cases like this, but statistically, we know why that is. Missing Child Alert. James's family was devastated that his case did not meet the criteria for an Amber Alert. An Amber Alert in Wisconsin must meet the following criteria. Child must be 17 years of age or younger. Child must be in danger of serious bodily harm or death. Initiating agency must have enough descriptive information about the child, the suspect, and/or the suspect vehicle to believe an immediate broadcast alert will help locate the child. On the Amber Alert Wisconsin About page, it also states the following in bold letters. Notes: Amber Alert is not to be used for runaways or family abductions unless the child's life is in danger. The thought process is we don't want to desensitize people to these alerts. If we receive too many of them, the alerts will be ignored or disregarded, and they really won't be of any help when absolutely needed. But then again, according to many, especially families of missing children, every missing child should be considered in danger. However, in August of 2024, the state of Wisconsin created a missing child alert system to help those children that are missing, but that do not qualify for an Amber Alert. Unlike an Amber Alert, the criteria for a missing child alert are broader. The person at risk must be under the age of 18 and believed to be incapable of returning home without assistance due to a physical or mental condition or disability of the person. Or the person is under the age of 10 and meets these additional criteria. The individual's location is unknown. It is within 72 hours of the individual's disappearance. The situation does not qualify for another alert. The individual has been entered as missing into the National Crime Information Center, the NCIC, and there is enough information available to share with the public that could assist in locating the missing person. Those who are within a 5-mile radius from where the person went missing from will receive this alert on their cell phone. Hopefully, this does help some children out there in the future. Sadly, the alert system would come into play in Wisconsin over 1 year after James's disappearance. Bill Yablonski has spoken out in favor of the law. He only wishes it had been in effect back in June of 2023. Sauk County, Wisconsin. Sauk County sits on the south-central part of Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one of the northernmost states in the United States. James lived with his family in the Reedsburg area, and the minivan was found abandoned on the side of the road near Devil's Lake State Park. This is also the area where his campsite was found, and in fact, authorities have stated that they believed they may have found a second campsite area that James had also likely been at, although details on that site are scarce. We do know that it was in the same region of Sauk County, off of Highway 12, and also near Devil's Lake State Park. Let's take a look at this Devil's Lake State Park area. First, Highway 12 runs north and south, passing right by Devil's Lake Park to the east, but James's van was found on the west side of the highway, as was his first campsite that was found. This would be the opposite side of the road of Devil's Lake Park. The entire area is pretty remote and offers a lot of wilderness, so I'm not sure that it matters much, but it seems he didn't initially make it into the boundaries of the park itself. Devil's Lake is a state park that consists of over 9,000 acres. Devil's Lake, the namesake of the park, covers about 360 acres. The naming of Devil's Lake is interesting. It was actually a spiritual and special healing place for the indigenous tribes of the area. When the Europeans came to town, there was a language barrier and they couldn't understand the real name of the lake. They misunderstood it to be Devil's Lake, and for the English, the name stuck. There is no sinister meaning behind the name of Devil's Lake. The park itself offers many hiking trails and campsites, true and monitored campsites, and visitors come and go all summer to enjoy all kinds of recreational activities. Devil's Lake has two beaches, and many people enjoy swimming and water sports. There are areas of the park with 500-foot bluffs overlooking the lake as well. These areas have all been searched. Theories and possibilities. This is a tough one to break down. There are two main thoughts, and then I'm going to add a third that is a little bit less popular, but is often discussed among locals in southern Wisconsin. Number one, James ran away alone. Was he trying to survive in the wilderness, as some believe? He took survival guides, we think, and he took camping gear. Or did he maybe run away to harm himself? His father's gun was missing. And James left that cryptic Snapchat video before he disappeared. There were no signs that we know of that he had any ideations of self-harm. But that's not something we always know, especially with a 13-year-old boy. But I have to question why he packed so much gear with him, if that was his intent. So it's possible that James made the decision alone to run away for one reason or another. Authorities have said they don't think James is still in those woods. In fact, they are certain of it, according to their statements. If that's true, where did James go? How did he get there? Is it possible he ran away to attempt to survive on his own, to live off-grid? But did he possibly have an accident? But if so, why hasn't he been found? Theory number two, James ran away with someone's help. While law enforcement believes that James ran away on his own accord and that he was alone the whole time, his family thinks otherwise. His father has spoken out on many occasions that someone else had to be involved. He doesn't believe his son would do this alone, and he certainly couldn't be out there by himself after all this time. We are approaching the 2-year mark of James's disappearance. The tricky part with this theory, in my opinion, is that all of James's access to computers was searched forensically, and there were no signs that he had conversed with anyone else, making any kind of plans. There are no signs that he was groomed. There are no signs of anyone else in James's life that could have helped facilitate him running away. Could it still have happened with no one knowing? Sure, it could. For this reason, it remains one of the main theories in James's disappearance. Theory number three, James met with foul play. This theory is not a popular one in James's case. Again, there is no evidence to suggest he met with foul play, but there really isn't much evidence at all. And if we haven't been able to find him yet, there have been a lot of questions brought up of the family and those that knew James, but they haven't been answered. Many have also volunteered to help the family search for James, but the family has turned them down. According to them, this was on the advice of law enforcement, as physical searches in that area of Devil's Lake are just too dangerous. And law enforcement has come out and said that themselves. So, albeit it does seem like this is an unlikely theory, but for a 13-year-old boy to remain hidden for almost 2 years, I don't think it's a theory that can be ruled out. So what do you think happened to 13-year-old James Yablonski? James is described as a Caucasian male standing 5'11" tall and weighing around 120 pounds. James has short brown hair, and he was last seen wearing blue jeans, red shoes, and a baseball hat. That is at least what can be verified and seen on the surveillance video of him leaving the home those early morning hours. James was 13 years old when he disappeared, and he would today be 15. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of James Yablonski is asked to contact the Sauk County Sheriff's Office at 608-355-3508. Thank you so much for listening to James's story today. And a big thank you to Amanda for suggesting James's case to me. Such a baffling mystery and so scary knowing that a 13-year-old could be out there somewhere. I always welcome case suggestions and feedback. You can email me anytime at canwefindthem@gmail.com or reach out on the socials. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Instagram, Facebook, X, and YouTube. If you've made it this far into the podcast and appreciate the coverage of these cases, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform. It really does help these names reach a wider audience and help spread awareness of these unsolved cases. If you'd like to further support our mission, we welcome you to join us over on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus episodes. The link to our Patreon can be found in the show notes. Thank you again for listening to James's story today. I really do hope this one is one of the cases I have an update for you all very soon. Like many people, I fear the worst, but I'm hoping for the best. We will be back again very soon with another Unsolved Missing Persons episode. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.